Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of pro-metabolic food supplements and seriously saturated skincare. And today I am joined by my co-founder and co-host, Craig. Welcome back again.
Thank you, Kitty. Good to be with you and good afternoon. I've been watching Clark and Dawr. A few listeners, a few Australian listeners out there who might know who that is, just go to YouTube and type in Clark and Dawr.
I don't know who they are.
They are these two guys who do a bit of a skit taking the piss out of current events, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny. Like, it's, you know, one of them will pretend to be like a senator and he'll answer questions about certain things and he just scoots around the questions really, really well. It's very, very cleverly done. I think this must be like 15 or 20 years old, but they still randomly come up in my feed. And I was watching one before. I was having a good laugh. So it's funny, a lot of the topics that they talk about are even so more relevant to current topics right now.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Kenny like them?
That's great. Who cares?
We've got this friend, Kenny, who's in Thailand. Where's he from?
He's from the Netherlands.
Yeah, he's funny. Yes. He looks Asian, though. He's like Asian, Netherlandish sort of, yeah.
Yeah. His last name's De Jong, which I wonder if he was like Korean or something like that.
Yeah, his dad.
He's a very interesting guy. He's so funny.
He's really smart, young, but he loves Aussie, like, funny reels, Bogan reels. Yeah, how he always sends these random reels.
WhatsApp messages
funny.
Me. He was just like, oh, my God, this is so funny, and it's some Instagram clip of magpie season where kids are getting chased by magpies. He's like, oh my God, is this like a real thing? This is hilarious. I'm like, yeah, it's actually really not pleasant. It's actually quite scary. But yeah, he finds Australians and Australian humor hilarious.
So anyway, we didn't need to talk about Kenny. Today we're talking about carbohydrates, sugar, and how you can utilize them to lose weight and improve your metabolism. Because I think, and get the body that you want. Build that strong, toned, energized body, you know, free from shitty perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms.
Yes.
You know, I feel like so many women just get sucked into the bloody rabbit hole of, like, doing a million things when you're just not doing the basics. And I know it's difficult. I know it's – actually was just on a call with a client today and she's like, oh, you know, Kitty, I keep getting sucked down the rabbit hole and then I end up, like, doing all these different things and I feel worse and I always end up coming back to this because when I do it consistently, I know it works. It's just slow. It's just slow. It's a slow process. But you know, I think one of the big things that we see, and I was the same, you know, before I found Craig and Emma, I was like anti-carb, so anti-carb. I cut all sugar from my diet except for when I was like, you know, binge eating on tubs of fucking Ben and Jerry's on the weekends and corn chips and all the other crap. Then, you know, Monday to Friday, I was the sugar antichrist. You know, I would never drink juice. I even made my own almond milk because I thought that milk was too high in sugar.
Sorry to interrupt you for a second. I don't think I've ever actually asked you this question, but we, you know, like obviously when you were like during the week, you were very specific in how you're approaching your food and very strict. You were like, no.
The specific idea behind it was just eat as little as possible and as little as carbs as possible. That was about as strategic as it was. Protein. Meat,
right.
Salad.
But you were pretty sort of like, no, I can't have sugar because it does this and that. But then on the weekends, like you would have this debate. Was there ever a point where you were like, I'm kind of contradicting myself, everything I say during the week and doing it on the weekend. Like, did that ever come up at all? I'm just
never.
I don't think I've ever asked you this question.
Never. I don't know.
Never.
Like, never.
No.
I was like, it seems fucking
that's ridiculous.
Stupid.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I know. You'd think that I'd maybe go, well, hang on a second. Maybe all these incessant sugar cravings are because I keep cutting out sugar and carbs. But I think you just get so hammered by the media and by all these wellness gurus and, you know, these fitness models that are super shredded and lean. And you're like, I really want to look like them. And when I cut out carbs and can be really strict with my diet, I can lose all this weight. But then you just get I would think that I was weak. You know, I just didn't have good willpower and I was weak. Yeah. And then I would punish myself and then I'd be back on
the wagon. The strategies back then, you know, what we're talking about like 10 to plus years ago, 12 years ago, you know, the strategies back then and what we understand now, it was just, it was still, everyone still bought into the whole, well, he's a bodybuilding coach and he's coaching these people, so what he says must be gospel. And a lot of the time,
Or the fitness models,
these
the
go,
celebrities, yeah.
or a lot of these people would get results despite what they do, or they would take tremendous amounts of drugs to kind of mask a lot of the issues, or they would be so miserable behind the scenes that they would be putting on this brave face. It's like, yeah, this is just how I am, and they would be suffering, and no one talked about, oh, it's just like my hair's falling out or my menstrual cycle issues, or like none of that stuff was really a thing back then. It was very, very simple. It's obviously, we fast forward now, and there's more
Awareness.
influence into, yeah, well, there's
Yeah.
more influence into the fitness space from other health professionals that are in different niches outside of that. You've got gut health people, and you've got the thyroid specialists, you've got different people that have influenced the industry a lot more, and it's all sort of, I feel, a lot of, even though it's still not taught in PT school or whatever, I feel like a lot more coaches that are coming out now are a lot more equipped, and they understand that, yeah, look, maybe those big time bodybuilding coaches really didn't know what they were doing. It was just kind of one of these things. Well, this is the way we've always done it, and this is the way we'll always continue to do it, because look at all of these people that have won these things. It's like, yeah, but what are they like after the show? Do you know, it's just like, it's cool, the show finishes, but what do they look like, 2 months after the show? I was like, oh, they put on like 10 kilos and they've got all of these issues. And it's sort of, I think it's in a much better spot now where people understand this. But you could almost say that there's even more divide now because
Or
you've got the carnivore
carnivore and
crowd and you've got
keto
the
and
keto, and everyone's sort of got their thing. So,
I think too, like you, it's celebrities as well. They
yeah.
all like the Kardashians and they
Yeah.
just eat fuck all and they train, just do like HIIT style training, not proper strength training. They're so
Yeah.
thin. Everyone's so,
Yeah.
every, like these women are so thin and undernourished. And, I think women just want to
Yes.
be small. I used to
Yeah,
just want to
and
be so
certainly then
small.
they've got the genetic, like obviously Kim Kardashian, I think she's had the Brazilian butt lift.
Has
You know,
she?
she's had the implants and stuff. I think so. I don't really know.
Oh, says Craig.
Maybe I heard
Yeah.
that somewhere, but who
Like,
fucking knows? But like there is
yeah, some magazine
sometimes
said it,
people
so
are
it must be true.
some people are just genetically blessed like that, do you know?
Yeah,
And
of course. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
and it's sort of like, oh, well, this is what I do. And I'm like, well, what's the method behind it? It's just like, well, the method is she was born to her parents and she has genetically big glutes. Like, it's nothing that she really does is going to be any really beneficial to the average person, so this is where we need to go wrong, because it's like, well, you just everyone's focused on the glutes, but look at the rest of the body. There's
Yeah.
not an ounce of muscle or development anywhere else.
And then they all, like all the celebrities, that they're so thin, and they don't eat enough, and they probably don't eat enough carbs, or they just don't eat enough because you can't be that thin,
Yes.
and but they all get Botox and fillers and
Yeah.
all of these crazy
Yeah.
fake like stuff they can make. I bet if they couldn't get any of that stuff, their skin wouldn't look great. Like
Yeah.
they would look tired and worn, and we see it
Yeah.
with women in our program all the time when they come in because they can't afford to spend thousands on Botox and fillers. And they come in, they nourish their body, they eat adequate carbs, they're eating the liver, the oysters, collagen,
Yes.
and they actually eat adequate calories. Because think about it like this: like I mean, we're getting fucking off topic here, but your skin is an organ, so like your other organs, it needs adequate energy and
Yeah,
nutrients to look
nutrients
its
to do,
best.
yeah, and
So it's just amazing when women come in, like they all say, oh, my skin looks, I mean, they still look their age, but they look great for their age, and they
Yes.
just look more radiant and healthy.
Yes.
And I think carbohydrates play a big part of that. So let's talk about, let's first talk about carbs. Like, what do carbs do in the body? I think there's a bit of a misconception that like carbs are bad, which is just fucking stupid because I'm like, how.
Well, I mean, I think it generally comes back to the whole point that if you stop eating protein, you'll die. If you stop eating fats to a point, you'll die. Whereas if you stop eating carbohydrates, your body will go through gluconeogenesis and just create pseudo carbohydrates from those other two macros in order to give you your body energy. So there, everyone kind of latches onto this thing. It's like, well, it's not an essential
Yeah.
macronutrient, so you don't actually need it. And it's just like,
But your body's
I think it's a
creating.
very, very short-sighted way of looking at things. And I think, in a lot of scenarios, people will gravitate to something like a carnivore diet, for example, or potentially keto, because of their digestion and their gut issues, that when they remove, a lot of, different carbohydrates, you know, obviously like things like gluten, you know, certain pectins, you know, for example, like different types of carbohydrates, they pull it out of the diet, all of a sudden they start to feel better. And it's sort of like, well, that's again, that's not an argument to say carbs are bad or causing the issues. It's just the carbs are really highlighting the underlying issue that you've actually got there and that you should actually address. So, you know, I get, you know, for, as a strategy initially, like maybe pulling, you know, them out or lowering them, or certainly pulling out all the ones that you can try and identify that are causing the triggers. Absolutely, pull them out for a time while you continue to sort of work on other areas. And that's where, you know, it's just like understanding, you know, how your gut's functioning. You know, do you have inflammation there? You know, like a, you know, leaky gut sort of issues. Do you have any issues around, you know, like parasites or pathogens and different things that might need to be, you know, address, you know, H. pylori, all these sort of different things that create low stomach acid that, you know, essentially then, you know, doesn't allow you to digest food, and then you continue to get more and more overgrowth, and over time these things continue to get worse. So when you pull the things out that are likely triggering a lot of those things, you will feel better, 100%. Like you will just be like, oh man, this is like, this is great. But again, it should be a case of, you know, trying to fix the underlying issue there, because at the end of the day, if we kind of look beyond that and kind of go, well, what's carbohydrates actually do? It's just like, well, first and foremost, carbohydrates are awesome to eat. You know, like when you eat them, you generally feel pretty good. Your energy increases tremendously. You know, obviously, the biggest reason why your body temperature will increase. So, you know, your cells, number one fuel source. You know, people want to argue that fats can fuel as well, but that, you know, there's a lot of different metabolic gyrations that need to happen in order for your body to actually utilize fats. It's quite under a stressful scenario, and long term, I think people end up in a worse issue, certainly from our experience. Whereas if you can obviously understand that carbohydrates are the thing that powers our cells, you know, glucose is it at the baseline what we need, then it's a case of kind of going, okay, well, if that does that and then that improves that, what are actually carbohydrates giving me? Well, it's just like, well, look at it. Look at things like, you know, potatoes, for example. It's like, you know, high amounts of potassium. There's a small amount of your protein in that. Obviously, you've got your fiber, you've got your magnesium, you've got all of these different, you know, vitamins and minerals that you're going to get from that, that your body can utilize and absorb in a very easy digestible form, right? There's lots of other foods that, you know, you could say that you're getting those things from that you mightn't digest as well. So again, within carbohydrates, obviously it's fun. It's going to power you. It's going to be your body's most easiest fuel source, and it can be utilized under minimal stressful conditions. But at the same time, you know, you think about potatoes, you think about oranges, you think about watermelon, you think about what are the other, like honey, like you think about, you know, like all of these foods that you can eat, they're going to offer, you know, a range of nutrients. Let's say something like honey, for example, which is really like antifungal, antimicrobial, very, very easy for your body to digest and assimilate. A lot of time, people that have digestive issues, you know, switching to something like honey can be really, really beneficial. You know, and then we look at it from that nutrient point of view, but then now let's look at it from a body composition perspective. Like you try and make the best progress you can not eating carbohydrates. Now, there would be people out there who do keto and carnivore and stuff and say, oh, I made progress just fine. Yeah, cool, great. But I'm not saying that that's incorrect, but I'm like, the vast majority of people will do much, much better when you give them the fuel source that is actually the number one option of what your body actually runs off. So, you know, again, perfect example. Like if you look at the extreme example of Mr. Olympia, there's not any ketogenic competitors anymore, right? They all fuel up with carbohydrates because when they stand on stage, their muscles look full. You know, they don't look drawn. They don't look depleted. Like that's what carbohydrates do. They bring pull water in. They hydrate you. They do all these things. Then from a performance output, increasing ATP, you know, like basically you're going to the gym when you're well fueled, your performance are going to be much better, your recovery is going to be much better, and then your adaptation processes are going to be much better. You remember that n nothing happens for free inside the body, just like here, nothing happens for free. So you need to, your the currency for what you have to pay for has to come from that energy source, which is going to be carbohydrates. So, you know, I always put people on, it's like, let's you it looking at someone's, you know, nutrition structure at times. You know, especially if, say, if they're training in the morning, they're like, oh, I'm just going to have a small amount of this and whatever. And they'll have a meal afterwards and, you know, they'll have some of their, you know, big portion meals kind of late in the day. I'm like, let's flip this on the head and let's front load your calories. Let's try and get a big bunch of, carbohydrates that are easily digestible, sort of that first thing. And let's have another big portion of that after your training session. But the rest of their day is just set up there and they feel so much better. Their energy's on point. Their recovery process is happening. The earlier parts of the day is generally the most energetically demanding parts of the day. So generally when you're at work, you generally do a lot of your harder tasks. In the morning, when you're focused and you've got that energy, and it's just like if you're giving your body what it needs when it needs it at that time, it's just generally going to perform better. So, if you think about it, it's just like digestion is most active at that time. You're in more of an oxidative state. Your stress is going to be higher. If you're training in the morning, like all of these things cost something. They cost energy. So if you're not fueling yourself around when you need these, when you have these energetically demanding tasks, it's just like, just try it. Like, don't take my word for it. Try doing it a couple of days without it and then do a couple of days with it and just see if you notice a difference. Now, obviously, if you are getting some digestive issues from carbs, that's a whole different story. But let's say everything is fine. Like, I don't get any issues. Your kidney doesn't get any issues. All of the clients we work with, when we work through those things, are all really fine. They respond really, really well. But their performance, their output, the way they can handle stress, all of these things happen when their carbohydrates are at a level and are being consumed, at a parts of the day where the body needs it the most, and that's generally where we're going to see the best benefits from it.
And can you talk a bit about, I think I was always under the assumption that, back when I was doing crazy shit, that I can't eat carbs and lose
Tuna and
weight.
apples.
So embarrassing. Talk about like it's a calorie deficit. It's not, you don't
Yes.
need to cut an entire macro. Talk a bit more about that, because I feel like a lot of women get confused, because I was
Yeah, no,
confused.
100%. So,
Yeah.
like anything, devil is always in the dosage, right? Carbohydrates are not inherently fattening. Too much carbohydrates will put you into a caloric surplus, which will then see weight gain going up, and that weight gain is generally going to be in fat, right? Right? Makes sense. So anything. Now, it's kind of hard to overconsume protein, and once you get to a certain amount, it just gets converted to more usable carbohydrates anyway, but generally most people can't eat enough protein to really be in a caloric fat. But you could certainly do it with fat for sure, right? So you eat too much fat, you'll get fat. You eat too much carbohydrates, you'll get fat. But setting a relative amount of calories depending on your goal, and if you need to be in a caloric deficit, and if your goal is to lose weight and lose body fat, then you could still do that. Like I, what was it? My from a percentage ratio, when I go through my cut, it's like 40%, 40 to 50% of my total calories are still coming from carbohydrates. So, it's like when you look at it, it's just like, I've got X amount of protein, X amount of carbs, X amount of fat. The vast majority of those calories are coming from carbohydrates. And I've been as heavy as I've been, 97 kilos is the heaviest I've been. I was had, certainly a decent amount of body fat at that point, unnecessarily for me to be at that size. But then when I got down to like 83 kilos, say like the photo shoot, and I was like super, super shredded, still 40 to 50% of my calories are still coming from carbohydrates.
So I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I wanted to quickly jump in and talk about our brand new Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-day challenge. Are you a woman over 40 who's feeling stuck when it comes to your health and your body? Maybe you've tried all the diets, you've cut carbs, you've done endless hours of cardio, and you still feel frustrated with no lasting results. You are not alone. This is so common for women in their 40s and beyond. But the good news is there is a better way. This is where the Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-day challenge comes in. Say goodbye to endless hours of cardio, restrictive diets, cutting sugar, carbs, and quick fixes. And say hello to feeling strong, lean, and energized like never before. Get ready for a healthier metabolism, better sleep, balanced hormones, more energy, and sustainable fat loss. Transform your body, health, and life after 40. So this isn't just a quick fix diet or a one size fits all workout plan. It's a method that combines metabolic support and body recomposition, specifically designed to help women build muscle, lose body fat, and restore hormonal and metabolic health after 40. So here's what you're going to get in the 28 days of the challenge. Custom macros and meal planning. So no more restrictive dieting or food fear. You'll learn how to set macros, adjust macros,
build meal plans, and eat foods you love while fueling your body to burn fat and build muscle. We've got hundreds of structured training programs. So these are designed for busy women with simple, effective workouts that you can do at home or in the gym. Each workout is actually customizable to the equipment you have access to, and each exercise comes with a detailed video tutorial. You get daily coaching and support. So you get access to me and Craig for 28 days to help guide you every step of the way, accountability, support, encouragement, and expert advice. You get to use our incredible new strength tracker app to track your progress, complete weekly check-ins, track your food, build meal plans, and use our unique training system to ensure your technique is spot on and you're progressing week to week. You also get access to us for 28 days, so you can jump on live calls and get feedback and coaching on your check-ins, as well as access to us via our community platform to ask questions and get support. And you get lifetime access to the course materials with modules on nutrition, metabolism, and hormonal health, plus guides on setting macros, creating balanced meal plans, recipe books, meal ideas, and we're just going to teach you everything you need to know about nutrition. And here's the best part. It's just a one-time payment of $29 Australian. Plus, it comes with a money-back guarantee. So if by the end of the challenge you're not convinced you can build muscle, lose body fat, and improve your health and hormonal issues using my method, I'll refund your money, no questions asked. This challenge isn't just about 28 days. It's about creating a sustainable lifestyle where you feel empowered to take control of your health, eat delicious food, and finally break free from restrictive diets and endless hours of training. So if you're ready to finally take control back of your body and your health, click on the link below in the show notes and join today. Let's get back to the podcast.
So again, the devil is in the dosage, providing that you're in a relative caloric deficit, that the ratio of carbs and fats once protein is equated to meet those needs, certainly from a muscle burning perspective, that the ratio doesn't actually matter. But
Would you say, sorry, just a quick, just want to ask a
yeah,
question
go ahead.
there. Why then, because I think about women in our program, like we would recommend a low to moderate fat and higher carb. So
Yes.
if the ratio doesn't matter, then why would you be wanting to get more of your energy from carbohydrates rather than fat?
Yeah, so there's two reasons. So obviously the body will compete for primary fuel source, right? Well, so both of those macros will compete for the primary fuel source. So you've got carbs and fat, right? So and again, depending on your state, depending on your insulin sensitivity, you can have fat a little bit higher, but generally you want to focus on one or the other. So if you want to have 40 to 50% of your calories coming from carbohydrates, because that is your primary energy source, generally you want to have the other energy source to be on the lower end of that. So it's basically you're just giving your body that signal. It's just like, this is our primary fuel source. Utilize this to the best of your ability, right? So we put carbs higher and we keep fat, lower to moderate. It kind of makes sense. With fat, we also know that past a certain point, once you've got enough fat for, enzymatic processes and obviously, accumulating, like fat soluble vitamins, etc. Like once you're kind of ticking off those boxes, any additional fat after that's not really giving you any more from a physiological perspective. It's just more than anything, it's just allowing you to have a more of a exciting meal plan, right? You got a bit more fat in your diet. There's a few other more, fun palatable foods that you can kind of have, and there's definitely nothing wrong with that. But certainly one of the things that we kind of talk about, especially when you're in a calorie deficit, that we talk about with clients is, set your protein relative to what you need within that. And that might be anywhere between 1.6 to 2.2 grams of body weight, something within that range. Set your fat at a point where you can design a meal plan that allows you to eat the foods that you can enjoy and stick to, right? And that might end up being anywhere between 45 to 65 grams of fat, depending on the person, the calorie range. And then, just find that level where you're like, yep, I know that this is my limit here. I wouldn't want to go any lower than this, but this is a good limit here where I can, I'm having a couple of eggs and I have some coconut oil, whatever it is that allows me to have some ice cream at night, got a little bit of fat in it, like all these things that kind of allows me to build a meal plan that's really, really ideal. Then after that, it's just like prioritize all the rest of the remaining calories towards carbohydrates. It's just, and then your body's just going to be more efficient then because there's no, there's no contradicting message, I guess. It's just like, no, the vast majority of calories are coming from carbohydrates, so your body will utilize that. Fat's at a point that it's doing its job to give you what it needs. Protein is set. That's generally a really good rule of thumb to be able to be working with a high carb diet to get the benefits of that. Because you also got to remember, like training, like the lifting of weights is glycolytic in nature, so it uses carbohydrates for fuel, right? So again, from a performance perspective, and especially when you're in a caloric deficit, your carbs are protein sparing as well. When you're in a caloric deficit, you're in a bit more of a catabolic state, so you are prone to a little bit more muscle loss. So again, wherever you can keep carbohydrates as high as possible, there's apart from just the performance, there is also the retention of lean body mass, which is something we really, really want to focus on and maintain during a fat loss period.
Let's talk about sugar, because I think there's this huge misconception, and I was the same, that, oh my God, sugar is the devil. And I would put soft drink on par with a can of Coke. And I just thought all sugar was bad. And, I think I never really understood sugar. Like, white sugar is just energy devoid of nutrients. It's not poison. I think a lot of these foods that are, like if you looked at, it's really interesting. Remember that movie, that guy, he was like, he ate all of that sugar and he gained, what was it, the sugar? Remember, it was like 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. What was it
Oh
called?
yeah.
And he's like, did it for 30 days or something, and he developed all these health issues and gained weight. So obviously he's eating in a,
I
first of
can't
all, a
remember.
calorie excess. But it was so interesting looking at the foods that he was eating. He wasn't just eating fruit and white sugar. And orange juice. He was eating packaged foods that contained sugar, polyunsaturated fats, grains, flour. Not that I'm saying that grains and flour are inherently bad, but one eating in a calorie surplus. And I remember that I did this comparison of the amount of grams of sugar in his diet versus yours, and yours was higher, yet what you're eating the sugar with was different. You're eating fruit and orange juice and homemade ice
Fiber.
cream. Yeah, fiber, yeah.
Yep.
Vitamins, nutrients. So it's like, and again, it's not saying that you can't eat any of those foods, but are you eating them in excess? And what are you eating the sugar with? And is there PUFAs? So I think
Yes.
it's just people
The
blame the
context was so
sugar.
important. It was
Exactly.
crazy because the guy was eating donuts and hamburgers and like all of this different stuff, all this different packages. He's like,
Muesli
oh, it's the sugar.
bars.
And
And again,
I'm
not
like,
saying you
Jesus,
can't ever eat a
how is he
muesli
just.
bar, but if you are eating like within your calories, not excess calories, and you're eating other whole foods. It's so funny how sugar just gets the blame. And then, women are so confused and they go and cut out oranges and orange juice and fruit, dairy, all these root vegetables, potatoes, sweet potatoes, all these beautiful nutrient-dense sugars. Like, it was such a game changer for me when, I met you and Emma and found Ray's work. And, everything that you're talking about now, you taught me, and I tracked my food and I actually ate the right amount of calories for my goals, and I started eating homemade ice cream. I still eat homemade ice cream every night. I love orange juice. I'm not saying that everyone needs to eat orange drink orange juice, but I love orange juice. I have a glass of orange juice every night with heaps of ice in it. I ate heaps of fruit, dairy, potatoes, maple syrup, honey, all of these beautiful nutrient dense sugars, and I was like, all of a sudden, I didn't want to binge eat anymore.
Well, I mean, yeah. So again, it's, like as you sort of said before, it's like when we say sugar, we're not telling people to eat refined table sugar. But if you want to eat, have some table sugar in your coffee or something like that, again, in the context of a nutrient-rich diet that ticks all the boxes, it's totally fine. But again, when we're talking about sugar, we're talking about fruits, we're talking about honey, we're talking about dairy. All of these things come with other nutrients, vitamins, minerals, cofactors that allow your body to thrive and do what it needs to do. So it's just like a lot of those energy and mood issues that people have and cravings is generally just your body's warning light, just going, hey, we need some energy. Our stress hormones are going high. We need to reduce those. So your body will just shoot this warning. Like I've used the example before of, like when you're dehydrated, you're like, hey, I'm dehydrated. I need to go and drink some water, right? And again, it's just like, well, you need to drink water with some sodium and some magnesium and potassium and all these things to rehydrate. It's not the water on its own, but again, it's your body's natural survival mechanism. Just go, hey, you're dehydrating. You need to go and fix this. So we don't question that. But when we get a sugar craving, we're like, no, you've got to ignore that. You've got go fucking chew gum. Whatever the strategies are these days. And so it's like, no. It's like your body is telling you that your liver glycogen is getting low, therefore stress hormones are going to be high. So these cravings are not telling you to, like, if you were to go and go, oh, okay, well, I'm due for a meal now that's got fruits and it's got honey, and, maybe I'm having some yogurt with some kale, I'm having some protein with it and all these sort of things. It's just like, mate, your body's going to love that because you're giving it what it needs when it needs it. So you just have to remember that's what cravings are, right? So if you're having cravings for sugar, first thing is, well, it's just like, are you due to eat? Can you pair this with, and like when we talk about sugars, like ripened fruits and, dairy and, honey, all these different things, pair that with some protein. That's going to be a really nice balanced meal. You're going to feel really, really good. And then there's also another reason why you get cravings is because of a dehydrated, system. So you're low on sodium, low on magnesium, low on potassium. But interestingly, you're going to get those intracellular nutrients that you're going to need from a hydration perspective from
Fruits
the fruits,
and juice.
right? You drink orange juice, right? You're like, it's like you got to tick all those boxes in one thing. It's just like we're lucky, obviously, in Thailand, there's coconuts falling from trees
Oh, it's
everywhere.
incredible. We have a coconut every day, don't we? A big
Every
rock.
day.
I
And
need to
they're
get some more,
amazing. And
actually.
when you drink it, like you feel the difference. You're like, I just feel instantly hydrated. Like just because it's such high amounts of potassium in it, there's some sodium. We're usually having it with, like our lunch meal, which might be,
Chicken, rice, tzatziki,
chicken,
watermelon.
rice,
Oh my God,
tzatziki,
it's my
watermelon, other
favorite.
fruits and sort of stuff. Plenty of salt in there. So like in that context. You're giving your, as I keep saying, it's like you're giving your body what it needs when it needs it. And then after that, you just like, you feel like, it's like, oh, I don't have any cravings anymore. It's like, yeah, because you've just, if the body sent you the signal, you've answered that signal. And now it's like, okay, cool. The warning light has been turned off. You know what I mean? It's, yeah.
It is incredible. And I think the other thing, and one thing that we really hammer home in our program too, is building more muscle. A lot of women, as they go through perimenopause, menopause, obviously they're already losing muscle, and their hormones are shifting,
Yes.
but because of their diet lifestyle, like they start to become, insulin resistant. And one of the best things you can do for that is building more muscle, having more muscle. It improves your body's ability to
100%.
utilize carbohydrates. So they're like this
Strengthens your
sink.
weakness. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a combination of all of these things. I think why women get so sucked down the rabbit hole too is because this process isn't quick. It takes time to change your body composition, improve your habits. But it's fucking incredible what women can achieve in a year of
Yeah.
consistency, showing up in the gym, lifting the weights,
You
eating the food,
literally can be a
nourishing their
different person.
body.
100%.
And well, that's too quick, but well, what's the alternative? You keep starving the fuck out of yourself. You get to 12 weeks, you lose the weight, you fall off the fucking wagon, you binge eat, you gain all the weight back more, you've lost muscle, your symptoms are worse. It's understanding that it's, especially so many women in their 40s, I think they're just overworked and undernourished and stressed and,
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they've
need
got
to
a lot
eat.
of things working against them, and it's just your body is always going to try and strive to be the best version of itself, and when you're constantly compounding it with stress on top of stress, it just equals more stress. And sometimes it's just like we know that women in hypothyroid states, they burn through magnesium like nothing. So it's just like a lot of these cravings are happening, as I was explaining before, because sometimes you can just be dehydrated and deficient in some of these things. Your body's constantly setting these warning lights. But it's just like if you could, come up with a nutrition structure, a meal plan structure that's going to give you those nutrients consistently with what you're eating, the reality is you're just not going to get those cravings anymore. And then you're supporting the body to overcome that stress, to mitigate that stress. You're going to be supporting your liver. If those things are working, your thyroid's going to start working better. Like it's all of those things just done consistently is what's going to see an optimal shift for someone. And supplements certainly have their place, absolutely. But at the end of the day, food first, calories matter, the ratio of right protein and carbs, how you make up those protein, carbs and fats from those particular foods. Is going to be the biggest thing that'll move the needle. And then after that, that's where you can be a bit more strategic. It's like, okay, if you're coming from a really stressed state, it's like, yeah, magnesium supplementation can be really, really good. Do you know, like, a number of other things like taurine, et cetera, can really support the liver. So it's, but you've got to put that in the priority. But at the end of the day, if you're just consuming enough carbohydrates with protein and structured meals throughout the day from those nutrient dense foods, that's 80% of the battle right there.
A client actually messaged me this week saying, "Oh my God, Kitty, I've been eating this way for a week." So we got her in, established her starting macronutrients, helped her set up her meal plan. She was eating, I think, three main meals and a snack, or three main meals and a dessert. And she said to me, after eating a week of eating like this, I feel incredible after only a week. And I think that's why it's so important to understand calories and macros. And that's why we really into the education and getting specific, because it's like I feel like this is why so many women just, go around in circles, because they're just not getting specific and clear. And once you've got that clear roadmap, it becomes so much easier. Then it's just about, okay, how do I become the person I want to become? What are the behaviors, the habits, and just taking that consistent, imperfect action and not expecting yourself to be perfect, and just building on those habits. But when you've got a clear plan, for example, a lady got on my call this week and she's lost like 6 kilos. She's done really well, and she said, "Look, I'd like to." She's got a few injuries, so she can't really push her strength training as hard as she would like. And she has built some muscle. She can't do more than 12,000 steps. So, and she's been consistent with nutrition. So we're just gonna have to cut some more calories, but we know because we've got data. And she's like, "That's okay, Kitty. I feel really good. I've built those habits and behaviors. I'm consistent with the meal planning, so I can do a really more focused fat loss phase now." And she was actually excited. But we had the data, to make that decision rather than flapping around in the breeze going, "Oh my God, what do I do? I have no fucking idea." And I feel that the more consistent you are with the nutrition, the higher calories you can eat and lose weight. But obviously there's other factors, like you said, this is why the data is so important, and looking at each individual and their circumstances and coming up with a plan that's specific to them. And that's what we do in our program. And then it becomes easy to sort of go, well, what lever do we need to pull? Are you someone who just needs to add, I mean, everyone needs to add more muscle, but you can't add more muscle now? Do we need to play with your calories? Do we need to increase your steps? Do we need to look at, the way that you're structuring your meals or the foods? Are you missing out on some nutrients? Perhaps there is some supplementation that we can, do as well, because we use supplements, but you want to make sure you got the foundations right first. You definitely do not need to cut carbs and sugar, and your life will just be so much fucking better.
So much better.
When you eat the carbs and sugar,
Much
so
better.
much better. So much better.
Speaking of which, we'll come put dinner on shortly. We
Yeah, we're
should
going to put
be
our air fried
air fried
potatoes
potatoes on.
with coconut oil. And then I have juice, passion fruit, and orange juice. Oh my God, the juice in here in Thailand is the bomb. I love the fruit and the juice. It's so, how
So
sweet are the
sweet,
oranges,
sweet,
hey? It's
incredible.
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they
Remember
have.
when I asked you, you were like, do you add sugar to this? And
She's like,
the chick
no.
just like looked at you.
Yeah.
Just like,
Do you know what they've got, which I want to
why?
try next time we go, is guava juice. Guava juice is pretty nutrient dense. I was having a look at it the other day. It's got really high in vitamin C.
Yeah, that's just not really a thing in Australia.
No, it's not.
Well, maybe it is. We never really saw it at like Harris Farm or anything like that.
It's not a
It's
thing. But in
a lot of
Thailand,
people
so I'm like, I
sugar.
might get some next time we're there. So, ladies, eat the carbs.
Eat the carbs.
You don't need to eat the carbs, but you've got to get
Eat the
specific.
carbs. Feel better. Don't be pain in the ass.
That's right. And if you want to learn more about our method, our Rebuild Your Metabolism method, come and join our free community. You can find it by going to our website. It's www.newstrength.com.au, and just go to RYM Method Free Community. And this is where we've got lots of free resources and more education on how you can rebuild your metabolism and actually get the body and the health that you want without doing crazy diets. And get strong. Get strong,
Get
ladies. We all just
strong.
want to get
Get
strong.
strong.
And
It's
eat the
the
carbs.
best.
It's the
Eat the
best.
carbs. Can't do one without the other. Or something
And
like that.
we will be back again next week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.